So now we're going to start signing Hey Omen Aleph. And it says, Kol Grav Shemachzik Sosayim. Any pickling barrel that contains two saw. So it said if it had 10 zuz of Yehuda zuz of treif fish, then the brine would be osir. So the Gemara, the English, the way he explains the Gemara, he's saying the Mishnah is difficult. Saw is a volume measurement, and zuz is a weight measurement. So how do you contrast zuzim?
How do you convert it?
Now the Gemara is going to give the conversion. How many zuz does a saw of water amount to? So the Gemara says, 24 lugim. There are 24 log in a saw. The kamaluga of it, how much does a log of water amount to? Taratain litrin. That's
2 liters.
Right? 2 liters. So a saw of water is 48 liters. Okay? 24 times 2. Kama litra of so how much is that? Ma'azinin. The weight of a liter is equivalent to 100 zuz. So we're going to have to just accept that as a given fact.
It's not our liter. It's not what we know as liter. It's not no way that it's equivalent to 100 zuz weight.
I don't know. He says, there's a Gemara in Erva that apparently says that it weighs 35 zuz, which seems to contradict that Gemara. Okay, whatever. So, in short, let's see. So, accordingly, so he writes like this. A saw of water weighs 4,800 zuz, and a barrel of two saw would therefore weigh 9,600 zuz.
Right.
Okay? 9,600 zuz. So that's the magic number. Did you follow the math? Okay? So if you end up with 9,600 zuz, so we're saying now 10 zuz of the Isser in a 9,600 zuz is 1, so you divide it by 10. So it's 1 in 960.
Right.
That's the share that Osir.
Divided by 10.
Because it's 10. The Mishnah says 10 zuz of.
Oh.
The Mishnah said that there are 10 zuz of Isser here. Nimzo called Zin v'Zin Achas Mitchamay Yisur Shishim. It's 1 out of 960. Fine. Harib Yosef Rabun Ba'akbar Achad Aleph. And he ruled that it was 1 in 1,000. There's two ways to learn this. Achbar. Some say it's a place, Achbar. Some say it was a case of a mouse. So it's a question exactly what it means. But again, 1,000 is close to 1,960. Apparently, this is the accepted din that it's 1,000. Rabbi Yudai, Revius, Vesosayim. It's less. Ravu, Vesheim, Rabbi Yosi, Rachanina. Raiva, Tzir, Vesosayim, Tzir. That the Revius of non kosher brine is nullified in two saw of kosher brine. The ain dog tohar matzel, and so this is a little tricky over here. I had to read this many times till I began to understand what he was trying to tell us here. The issue here is, are you mitzaref the fish, the kosher fish, with the brine to be mavatel the non kosher? And so he's saying here it's not. Rabbi Avu is saying it does not mitzaref. Revius of non-kosher brine is nullified in two saw of kosher brine. The ain dog tahar matzel. You do not count the fish itself. And Amar Babu, chashvis yosa karv masayim, it's close to 200 revius in two saw. Now, I don't know what that means. Let's go on a little bit further. Rabbi Ila b'shem b'shem barchia, roi vatsir v'sasayim, dogim vatsir. So this is the contrast to Reb Avuhu. The Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you have a revius of non-kosher brine. It's nullified in two saw of both kosher fish and brine. So the fish will be mitzaref to the brine. So this is the main thing to get out of this, that you have a machlokes whether the fish itself is mitzaref or is it not. Also of the community of Yosha, and there was a case for hurricane, and he paskin lakula that the fish would be bitstarif with the brine. Okay?
So, wait. Wait a minute, this is non-kosher fish.
No.
It's kosher
fish. I'm talking about kosher fish. We're talking about, is the kosher fish that starts with the brine to be mevatel
the non-kosher
fish? So that the brine will be mutter. Okay?
The non-kosher fish is still awesome.
The non-kosher fish will remain awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let me keep going. So now we're on Tzadik Kalei Omen Beis with Tony Kane. There's a brayso like this. When does we're now going to bring a proof from this brayso that you talk about starve the fish, and it's a very simple raya, because it says, when does Rabbi Yehuda say that it's mitzarif bezman sheshol rishon rishon umniach lafonav? That when do you say that you need this shear of whatever the number was, 1 and 9, what did you say, 192 or something? When do you need that amount? That was when you're taking the fish from the barrel out and you're throwing it down in front of you because you want to measure how much fish there is. Well, Matzabakish Razan, he found this measure of Ravias and Tusaw. Avlam Hayashola Rishon Rishon, and when he was taking the fish out, he was throwing it behind him, so he wasn't looking at the fish. So then there's a possibility that one of the kosher fish got lost. Like along came a cat and stole one of the fish while he wasn't looking, right? Or a bird. So then, afilu mikishir hazeh mutter, then even if there's more than this measure of revius, it would still be permitted, because perhaps, in fact, it was more kosher fish, and it was lost in the barrel, and therefore, when we mutter it, since it's only drabbanan to begin with, so now, if only the kosher brine, but not the fish, nullifies the non-kosher brine, right? If you hold like a bavu, that you're not going to starve the fish, who cares whether a fish got lost? It doesn't add up to be mevatel in any way. It has to be that the fish itself is going to starve with the brine. It's a partial riot, right? So ayide ilo. So the fish, it's kind of like a pretext. I mean, what do you mean by pretext?
It didn't matter what was in there.
Seven.
So in other words, it's like, in truth, there's no halachic grounds to assume that there might have been more kosher fish than presently found. However, even undiluted non-kosher fish brine is forbidden only rabbinically. So the rabbi saw fit to permit a mixture of kosher and non-kosher brine on a mere pretext. That's the idea. It's any tzad heter that we could come up with will be moderate. That's it.
That footnote that said that it was Zaya, the footnote he's referring to.
The whole problem with Zaya, a fish, it's only Darabonim, okay? Zaya's dogim is only Darabonim, okay? And that's that's the basis of all our Gemaras here. That's why they were Mako in these cases. That's why the Elo, it's a pretext, the way he's explaining it. Okay, another case, in Genufta Ikaklas, in the Gevunta River. This is he translated here, it was used simply. There's a lot of different mepharshim exactly what this means exactly. The Gra learns it this way. That means they were worshiping it as out of a zara. Okay, so Sha'al Rav Chagai L'Rav Baba Zavda. So Rav Chagai asked Rav Baba Zavda, can we benefit from the water, or is the water of Osaban not? A Malay Davashal Rabbi in an answer, he said, it belongs to the public. You can't ask there's public's water just because you bow down to the water. It belongs to somebody else. This can be argued that this is also with a pretext. In other words, you're gonna make the whole town not have a water supply. You have to come up with that, you know. Let's see. Here it's important to know these distinctions over here. First, the Yisod what? The objects worshipped as a Avodah Zarah or Asabana. Another Mishnah teaches that that's only if it's not ground and objects naturally attached to it, like trees. So if you bow down to a tree, that doesn't make the tree also.
Right?
It's only when you plant the Asherah tree is planted l'shem of a Nazara, so it's yon, that was planted for that purpose.
Even okay. If they bow down to a mountain.
Yeah, the mountain.
Okay.
What's the drasha?
Al
haharim below al haharim atzvan, right? Eloheim al haharim below al haharim atzvan. That's the drasha. Based on these rules, it says that rivers, springs of an individual become prohibited when worshipped only if he first detaches the water from the river by striking it from below before bowing down to the waters. In other words, you're lifting some water out of the river. It comes airborne, you bow down to it, so then it's detached, and then it becomes osur.
Oh, well, so then it falls back
then
in.
Then it falls back in. So
oh,
you have,
that's what it means.
That's the idea. The Chage wondered whether the waters of the Gunvuno River are forbidden.
But a river is flowing.
What does it mean from below?
What? From below, it means from below means you take your stick and you hit the water from below to knock it out of the river.
Knocking the water,
so it becomes airborne. You bow down to it, it falls back out into the water, and so you have Isser water in the water. Yeah.
And if you took a keli and you
yeah, the same thing. You could do it that way too. So
it falls back into the water. But
so he asked, let's see what it says over here. Rav Chagi wondered whether they are forbidden due to the concern that the Eidei Azor detached some of the water before worshipping the river. All right? Now, the river was not privately owned, so its waters cannot be rendered forbidden by being worshipped. Now, 13, in other words, it can be argued, we cannot invoke the principle that a person can't forbid an item that's not his, because the river is owned by all the townspeople, including the Eved of Azara. So this is a rule. If you're talking about, there's differences between locally owned things. So like, let's take the shul. Let's take Shomer Emunah.
Everybody's
partners. We're partners in Shomer Emunah, right? So if I asser you b'hanor from taking from me, so you can't come into the shul because I have a partnership in the shul, and you can't benefit from my shul, right? My part of the shul. If it was something...
No, you can.
What?
You're only one out of 100 partners. So
doesn't matter. He can't come into my part.
Where's your part?
That's the problem.
Someplace.
Yeah.
So he's being there now when he comes into my shul. I'm not going to let him come into my shul.
You're saying he's not allowed to come in?
No, absolutely not. I have to. I'm pretty sure.
You have to be a member.
Unless I mean, I haven't.
We're reviewed, not talking about.
I haven't reviewed these rules in a long time, but it could be that it's a shorabim where they serve outside cities. And in that case, it's different. But if it's a private shul.
Oh, it's a private shul.
It's a private shul where we're all members and we all own a chelik of the shul. I can answer it on you. Yeah. Okay. So that's the idea here.
Doesn't sound right.
We can look it up later, okay?
After midnight.
So let's see over here. Why then are the waters of the river permitted? Because in fact there are no true halakha grounds for concern that he detached some water before worshiping it. So he's explaining here. What is the basis of the heter over here? He says because there's no true halakha grounds that he detached some water. Why should you be worried that he detached some water? It's a very unlikely thing to have occurred. Thus, although due to this concern, we're stringent and forbid a privately owned river that was worshipped, nevertheless, in order to preserve the permitted status of a public river, we employ the pretext that a public river cannot be rendered forbidden. Although it's unclear whether it is halakhically sound. So it says, presumably the river in question was owned by the townspeople, not the entire country. As we learn in Adarim, this is the Yesod over here, there is a difference between a national facility and the municipal facilities of a town. National facilities is considered public property, governed by the principle of can't ask for something which is not yours. But the municipal facilities of a town are owned specifically by the residents of the town. And they're not governed by that principle. They are not governed by that principle. Accordingly, by the letter of the law, you cannot, by the letter of the law, it cannot be invoked with respect to this river that we're talking about in the Gemara, because it was a town-owned river. Okay, that's the problem. However, in order to preserve the permitted status, this is the ELA that we're talking about over here. Okay, that's why it's an ELA. They employed a pretext and gave the river the legal status of a national facility. Okay. He says if you knew for certain, then it would be awesome. Yeah. Okay.
There's no idea that the river keeps on flowing and new water keeps on coming.
It's all
so that's a good question. I mean,
it's not Balta Barai. It's not Balta Barai, by the way.
You're saying because it's not Balta Belf? It's not Phil Belf and Bottle? Yeah, but it's no longer here, it's downriver.
But it's all connected.
It's all
What do you mean? What do you mean the water's connected? The water that they bound down to is now out in the ocean. It's not here in front of us. I don't know. I think it's a good question.
Ah, Shabsi. Good question.
You think what?
I think it is a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I was just throwing out
I told Avram when we learned this, I said, this reminds me of, you remember in Eretz Yisrael, they were those who said, well, you have none from Yidden going out into the Kinneret, and they eat, or even from Yidden, they go out in the Kinneret in a boat, and they're eating a pretzel. They throw the pretzel overboard. Chometz, the rule is it's not bottled, even by Elif. So the water should all become us, and the whole Kinneret should be us from Tesla. Okay, this was like, you know.
To eat.
Whatever, anybody that drinks from the Kinneret. So is are you allowed to swim in the Kinneret?
Right.
Can you use the water of the Kinneret now to make a matzah? I don't know. Anyway, let's go. It's a joke. I mean, it's a b'chal m'shuga. Rabbi Yaakov Azav the Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak Shal, the Ilein Igor. So this is another pretext. Okay, so these are the most interesting part of the daf. So you have this other pretext. You have these letters of divorce, Elaine Igorasa. Logoyas Lucas Subahen, Batama Shekosher, doesn't have Gaius and Lucas signed as signatories. Now Gaius and Lucas are Gaius names.
So is a letter of divorce.
So is what?
So is a letter of divorce. Is this a get or
a it's a get. Civil? It's not a get.
It's a get. It's not a civil thing.
Letters of divorce.
It's a get.
It's a get. I don't know why they didn't.
What it says. About.
No, I wasn't sure.
Who cares?
In 14, it talks about different names. Yeah, in 14, he talks about different names that get is given. Get Peturin.
Lucas is the name that the.
Lucas on Mosai, whatever, yeah. Something like that, right?
How long are you going to take away the money of the Jews?
Right. So it's also the forward of the Chicago Bulls. So, I mean,
it's a Gaiusha name.
Wolf.
Now, normally,
Lucas is Wolf in Greek.
So, in other words, It said it was common practice to validate Gittin, which was signed with the names used by non-Jews. So he found it difficult. How do you know that these witnesses are indeed Jews? Maybe they're non-Jews, and it's possible. So what's the reason? So it says, Aide Ilo is a pretext. So now over here he says that the Gemara in Gittin says there's a difference between a get that came from outside Eretz Yisrael and in Eretz Yisrael. It's outside Eretz Yisrael.
Could be a guy.
It could be people.
It's more likely it's going to be a guy.
People. No, 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 no.
No?
No. Outside, we assume it was Jewish because it was common for Jews outside Eretz Yisrael to use Goyish names.
Oh.
But Jews in Eretz Yisrael would never use Goyish names, at least in the times of the Talmud, anyway. So therefore, you wouldn't. If it was a get in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't even. You wouldn't be mocked with a pretext, apparently.
Hey,
okay. Hey, Reb Tzadik al Tzir Chagavim Tamei Shu Torah. That was the last part of the Mishnah. The Gemara says on Tzadik Vavam Nalav at the top, the word Tahar generally connotes it being ritually pure. So if he wanted to say that the brine was kosher, he should have said it's mutter or kosher or whatever. What do you use Tahar for? So the Gemara explains, Mahu Tahar. Tahar mila hakshir. It means it won't be susceptible to tumah if you use if brine from non-kosher grasshopper it comes in contact. Holitame, or to contract tumah in itself, a filo kosher mitame, even the slightest amount of brine contracts tumah.
I have no idea what this is.
So what's going on over here? So again, you have to. We know already in footnote 2 it says you have to have the 7 mashkin to be mash or something. That we know. Now, Rapsonic teaches you what the non-kosher grasshopper brine is not classified in any of those shiva mashkin. Okay, so it can't be used as a mashra.
Even though it's 98%, 99% water?
Yeah, it makes no difference. In other words, while a non-kosher grasshopper, number 3, does not qualify as a liquid with regarding to making some mashra it, nonetheless, what?
He says because the name is Tzir, it's not considered water. But if new water falls in afterwards, then it is enough to be mopsure. That's how the footnote explains it.
What's he trying to tell me over here? I'm not sure I understand this Gemara.
That's why he says Tahar.
Tahar Milahakshar. Let me just read it in the... What?
It's not considered water.
In other words,
it cannot be maksha something else, itself could be makabel tumah. So what's Reb Tzadik trying to tell me? So he uses the word tahar to tell me that it is...
That if these waters fall on something else, it won't be maksha, it'll be makabel tumah.
And in that sense, it's tahar.
Right.
But however,
if the dead grasshopper touches something, it's going to make it tummy.
No, we're talking about the tzir, not talking about the grasshopper.
Grasshopper?
Yeah, okay.
Grasshopper too?
Okay, very good. So that's the end of that. Tzadik, Tzadik Vav, Omen Aleph, tomorrow we will begin Mirza Shem.
Tomorrow what?
Alachavav.